This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9. Bent Notes is our weekly jazz program going to air each Sunday night.
Piece was called Erica and it's off the album that was released a little bit through last year called Erica by the Flora Cabo Trio, and we're very delighted to have in the studio with us Flora Cabo. Flora, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I really enjoyed that piece of music.
Thank you.
It's interesting. I like improvised styles of music and I love the way it kind of cuts over to a more traditional style and then it cuts back to an improvised style.
Yeah.
It's interesting. You want to tell us about that?
That piece especially, I suppose, had a couple of influences, particularly from some tenor players that I really enjoy, and particularly around the like saxophone trio ensemble instrumentation, because I was really interested in that sound. And so I was listening to, there's one saxophone player in particular called Ellery Eskelin, who has this album where he sort of plays with, it's called Forms, and he plays with like the traditional sort of blues form and a ballad and something in, you know, a 3/4 time, but he really sort of like stretches it and plays really free with it, and it's amazing. And it's, I just think when I first heard that, I was like, I want to do something like that. And then another influence also is a amazing female saxophonist, actually, who is a great inspiration for me, but her name is Melissa Aldana. And so she won the Monk competition a while ago, but she's got this amazing trio album, and she plays this sort of angular blues song that goes sort of into this like really sort of swinging blues, and I was like, oh,
I have to look out for her. Yeah, it's always good. It's always interesting. We were talking with Jet in the studio a little bit earlier about when musicians have influences, and sometimes names come out that you haven't heard of before. I haven't heard of Melissa before.
No, yeah, she, she's from Chile, but she lives in New York. Yeah, she's amazing. She's one of those like powerful sort of underground musicians that not many people have actually heard. But
Jet, note that name down, and we'll have to go. We'll have to go looking for to play some to play some music there. Flora, you're going to be performing in the Sonnington Jazz Festival. That's pretty exciting.
Yes, I'm very excited. I've definitely been very much looking forward to being a part of that program. Yeah.
Is the performance that you're going to be performing, is it all related to the album that you released? That we just played the piece called Erica, and actually last week I played a piece off there called Good To Go. I just like the name of that piece called Good To Go.
I really like that too.
Yeah.
That's got a funny story actually, that piece.
Oh, has it? Tell. Oh, what? Yeah. Let's go with the funny story.
Might as well tell
Please,
let's
please
start from the beginning and then we'll get to the jazz festival in a minute. Let's actually talk more about Erica.
Yeah, I've already gone on a couple of tangents already. I haven't even started. No one even knows who I am.
That's okay.
It's good.
We like that's good.
That piece came about because of, I like going to Bunnings and looking at all of the colours in Bunnings and collecting all the colour cards. And I was there one day and I must have had a lot of time or something. And I just wanted to go through and find all the funniest names of them. And there was this like funny sort of like yolky yellow colour that I was like, that is a strange sort of colour in general. But it was like, it was called Good To Go. I just couldn't work out. I was like, this is ridiculous but amazing at the same time.
I love
so
that.
I was like, I need to write a song about this
really good
yellow colour.
Really
yeah, good. Was it the words or was it the colour that made
colour.
You want to write the song?
I think it was the colour and the fact that the name of the colour was so weirdly obscure. It didn't quite make sense, but it was just kind of nice in that it was just kind of like, oh, well, someone obviously thought it made sense. And
I have to say, when I crack open a free-range egg and it's got that beautiful yolk colour, I feel like I'm good to go.
Good to go,
so
yeah.
I feel like that's kind of a really nice...
I've never thought about that, actually.
Kind of the start of the day?
Yeah.
Would that be how you describe the music of Good to Go?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it could be.
It's like a waking up song, like I feel, getting up and going?
Yeah, I guess. I think it's probably a little bit darker than that, though.
Yeah, right.
To a certain degree.
Okay. We probably should have had it queued up and ready to go. Maybe we can listen to it later later on in the show. Yeah. I really enjoyed listening to it last week.
Yeah, same here.
Erica, I just played the title track, Erica, off the album, Erica. Who is Erica? Is there a story behind Erica?
A little bit. It's sort of the name that I decided for my saxophone, actually, my alto saxophone. I sort of like naming things. I don't know. I've got this thing with names.
Clearly,
like,
Good to Go. Yeah.
Exactly. I just like the names of things.
That's cool.
So I suppose I decided to name my saxophone Erica, basically sort of loosely based upon Eric Dolphy, because I quite like Eric Dolphy a lot, and I wanted to, you know... name it sort of after him.
Homage.
So, and I decided it's definitely a girl. So it's Erica. I kind of like that name. So it's like, oh, I should write a song as well. Does and then it turned into the album name, which is kind of fitting.
Yeah. Does the piece of music relate to Erica's personality? Like, does your instrument actually have a personality? I guess it does because, you know, you form quite a close bond.
Yeah, for sure. Well,
and I know that, like, you know, musicians don't like, you know, if you play your saxophone and... it wasn't available for some reason and someone said, I've got a spare one. It's not the same for you.
So, no, it's not.
So does Erica have a personality?
I guess so. I mean, I've definitely played other people's saxophones and sort of, you know, felt a bit uncomfortable with that. But I don't know. I guess so. I don't really know how to answer that question, actually, because I feel like Erica's personality is largely my personality. Because,
an extension of yourself.
Yeah, exactly, which is really nice, but...
It is. On the album, it's not just you performing, it's a trio.
Yes.
So we've got Isaac Ganu on the bass and also Madison Carter on the drums. Mm. Are they people that you've worked with for a long time?
Yes, actually. So it so happens that when I was, like, younger and I was sort of starting to play jazz music and, you know, learn about it, me and my brother... we used to go to lots of jazz camps and, you know, try and meet, like to meet people and learn as much as we can. One time we went to this jazz camp in Melbourne. I think it was at Trinity College. It was
at Melbourne University.
Yeah. And it was like hosted by people from Juilliard, and they came down and they sort of taught us for, I think it was a week long. It was amazing.
Great experience.
And yeah, so we just sort of developed a bond with Isaac at that point because he was coming in to play bass and whatever, to learn as well. And so we developed this bond and then we thought we should play together more.
Huh.
And Isaac had already been playing with Madison for a long time because they went to school together. And so we sort of had, you know, my brother and I had a nice, you know, bond, musical bond, and they had a nice musical bond. And then we sort of came together as a band, which is actually called Cabo Carter Ganu, which is our band together.
Cool.
And we sort of started playing. We're like, this is really, really fun.
Yeah,
like this.
Awesome.
And so we've been doing that for about, I think it's about 5 years now, maybe? Yeah. And so when I wanted to do a trio project, I was sort of thinking about who am I most comfortable playing with, and I was like, well, Maddie and Isaac, of course.
It's a no-brainer.
No-brainer, exactly.
Why did you want to do a trio project? If you've been a quartet for such a long time and that had been working well for you, what moved you into the trio space?
Oh, that's actually an interesting question because I suppose I've always sort of really enjoyed the sound of a saxophone trio. Like the fact that there's sort of three elements within it with, you know, sort of distinctive roles, but, you know, it's sort of not always clear, and it's a nice sort of like, I think of it as like a triangle of sound in that when you're listening to it, you can hear all things at once. It's like kind of simple in that regard. Mm. It's like you can sort of understand everything that's going on by listening to it. It's not, there's not too much going on. It's, I don't know, maybe that's just like my simplistic mind or something, but
do you think that once there are four or more players in there, the saxophone sometimes gets a bit lost? It becomes like a side instrument rather than the lead instrument?
I feel it's in some ways it's almost the opposite in that you feel like you need to do that more. Like you feel like the saxophone sticks out more rather than having an equal sort of part in the whole thing. To a certain degree, it also depends on who you play with and whatever, but I feel like with three people, it's sort of like, and when you're playing with three people as well, it's nice because when you're playing, you can hear the two things. It's almost like two ears, as opposed to, you know,
a lot more there.
A lot more ears, mm-hmm. but which is also great too. I mean, I'm not saying it's not great. Of course, it's fun, but there was something about that at that point in time. Appealing. I was like, I want to write music for this sound. And so a lot of that music actually is written specifically for that, for this group and for that trio sound that I was looking for.
When you write music, because we've just, it leads into another question about writing music for something like this, for a project like this and for your trio, do you write the music for the bass and for the drums as well? Or are you purely someone who writes for the sax and then lets those other musicians feed off what you've written? How do you manage that?
Usually what I bring in, I mean, especially these guys, like another reason why I wanted to play with these guys is because I'm very good at sort of having half ideas and then, you know, bringing it to someone and then it sort of makes sense, like, which is terrible. I should really like have a, you know, a clearer picture of the whole thing when I start. But these guys just made that so easy for me because they know what I'm trying to get at. And then,
well, you've clearly chosen two people who understand your process, and
for sure.
it's a good blend, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
It's great.
But it's a very important thing too, Jet. What you said is so important because that, you know, like there's a lot of trust involved with improvisational jazz music as well, because, you know, you have to know that the other person or the other people involved are going to be looking and listening and kind of fall onto your cues.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think we definitely developed that bond after playing together in that quartet as well for quite a while, and it was just a very natural thing. All this music was sort of written with them in mind as well, not only just bass and drums. It was written for those two, you know, musicians as musicians.
I thought you made an interesting comment before when you said, you know, remembering that your style is improvised, but you said I should be a lot more ordered with my writing, or words to that effect. I thought that was a bit ironic.
Well, to a certain degree, but within improvisation, like if you talk to any improviser, that's the word. they all have their own like processes and methods and things that they're thinking about and ways in which they perceive music coming together and different, you know, strategies and methods. And I think it's like within improvisation, although it's sort of in the end you let go of things, there is like a lot to sort of practice and get better at, and there's always something you can get better at with anything really, but with improvising especially, it feels esoteric, but there's
but actually
a lot
it's
of,
controlled in
well,
a, it
yeah,
has to be
to a certain degree. But I mean, I could be making this up as well. I don't really, you know.
Well, but no, but that's your experience.
In my experience, of course. So, you know, as an improviser, you want to make sure you're playing with people you're comfortable with, and yeah, I guess that's it.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Find more Joycasts and show blogs, go to joy.org.au.
Flora, we had a message from one of our listeners just probably about 15 minutes ago, Melina, who messaged in just saying that she was enjoying the show. Thanks, Melina, for messaging in. We appreciate that. And she asked us a question to ask you, and it was about another saxophonist whose name is Candy Dolfer. And to be honest, I actually hadn't heard of her, and Jet hadn't heard of her, so we quickly did a little bit of research. What do you know about Candy Dolfer?
Well, yeah, I guess I haven't
She's Dutch.
Actually...
She we
is
found
Dutch.
Out.
Yeah, she is a Dutch saxophonist, and she has been very successful being a Dutch saxophonist, which is amazing. She plays a sort of genre of music that is not necessarily what I'm interested in, I suppose, as a saxophone player. But it's kind of very nice to have, like, you know, to just sort of have almost like that role model up there.
Yeah.
You know, Candy Dolfer is a young female
representation
saxophonist, alto saxophonist as well. It's like, oh,
Is she more a pop musician or a rock musician?
Yeah, she's more of a, I guess more of a popular musician. But, I mean, not to discount that at all, of course, that's amazing, but it's just not the music that I'm necessarily wanting to listen to.
Does she compose as well?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Interesting.
I think so.
Jet, that's another name that we need to do a little bit more research on for next week, I think.
Yeah.
But thanks, Melina, for that question. Mm. Flora, tell us about the Stonington Jazz Festival and your involvement in that.
Well, I'm very excited to be involved in it because it's definitely been one of those festivals that have always hosted incredible things, and it's always been amazing to, you know, see the program and see what's on. And so it's an absolute honour to be a part of it. Playing at Chapel of Chapel will be incredible as well because I've never done that before, which would be very nice.
Have you been to shows there before? As an audience member? Or?
I have. As an audience member, I think I've been once or twice, but to the large room. So I think what they're planning on doing is turning the loft into a jazz club with, like, they're going to do, like, cocktail seating and little tables and stuff. So I think it's going to be amazing.
It's a great way to see jazz music in that.
Oh, of course.
In that. It's nice, actually, even in places like the Recital Centre when they do that in the salon and they put it into that cocktail or cabaret sort of format rather than just, you know, chairs in a row. It makes a big difference.
It does.
Does it make a difference to you as the performer? Yeah. When you look out to the audience, does it feel different?
It does to a certain degree. Actually, that's kind of interesting because I sort of experienced that from another sort of side because I've been playing with this circus group actually, and they've sort of been, we just finished a tour of Holland actually. The idea of that tour was to promote sort of cabaret seating and cabaret performance in Holland. So they would set up all these large rooms with like tiny little tables and little chairs and stuff. Mm. And it always did feel really, really nice because they're far closer to you instead of on the raised seats, like you can't see their faces. And so I realised it's like, oh, it does kind of make a difference how the room is laid out and how much, you know, as a musician you can experience of the audience.
What sort of music were you playing with the circus performance? Was it jazz music? Or?
Yeah, it was kind of all sorts of jazz. It was like the show was called Scotch and Soda, and it's still going, but it's called Scotch and Soda, and it's got like a sort of a jazz group. And the idea of the show is it's a sort of a party for a wedding. So it's a wedding party, and it's full of jazz musicians and jazz music, and it's got lots of like sort of R&B and all kinds of music, really. Actually, there's actually lots of influences. The musical director's done an amazing job of composing all this music to fit all of his interests, which is incredible. Yeah,
that sounds great. Cool.
It does sound interesting, doesn't it? Coming back to the Stonington festival though, if people go to listen to your performance there, which is on the 11th of May at 7 p.m. Saturday the 11th of May
That's
at 7 p.m. at Chapel of Chapel in the loft. Will people be hearing the album Erica, or will they be hearing other music as well?
I think they will expect to hear some of Erica, definitely, because those songs that we've got on that album are definitely well suited to that group, and we feel that it's a really good representation of what we do as a group. They're always fun to play every time because of the amount of improvisation in them as well. It's always different, which is really exciting. Often in the last couple of gigs we've actually played with the three of us, we've found that we've also really enjoyed just sort of playing standards that we don't usually play, like jazz standards. That's often been the funnest point because we haven't played these in a while, so when we come back to it, it's like, huh. And it always feels really sort of fresh. So I'm hoping to do a couple more things like that as well, like jazz standards or like pieces by other musicians, perhaps Bernie McGann or even maybe Melissa Aldana as well. I'd love to draw in from those influences.
And when you do the standards, do you keep them purely as an instrumental piece, or do you ever work with a vocalist?
No, I've never worked with a vocalist in that format with a trio, but that's also something to look into. I'd like to do that. But as for the standards, I guess we play them in the similar sort of way, like I really like being very sort of free with it.
Mess them up a little bit.
Yes, of course. And being open to anything that happens within that moment. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Find more Joycasts and show blogs, go to joy.org.au.
We just have another message that's come in, I think, from South Yarra, who's just asked about Esperanza Spalding and what you think on artists like Esperanza Spalding. Also,
I'm a huge fan of Esperanza Spalding. I think she's amazing. Yeah, she's done an amazing job of finding her sort of place within the music as well, within what she has as her skill set, which is absolutely incredible, but also how she can do that in a, you know, creative way, and it's amazing.
I read a little bit about her recently, and she was asked a question about why she chose the bass, the double bass. She obviously can play other instruments as well, but when she started playing the double bass, it was just like this love affair, you know, and all the other instruments just sort of faded away and it was her and her double bass. Do you?
What's her double bass's name?
Yeah.
I don't know if she's gone that far, but she certainly, it does feel like a relationship. Like
yeah,
she said
sure.
it. And do you feel like that with,
yeah,
with Erica?
For sure. Yeah, yeah, for
yeah.
sure.
I imagine you would. You spend so much time.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Definitely. Mm. I feel like. And also, you know, you have good gigs and bad gigs and you feel like you're sort of all going through it together with your, you know, with your saxophone. Yeah, but definitely a huge part of my life is saxophone, which is, I'm really lucky to be able to have the opportunity to do that, actually.
Flora, there's another track on your album called Berlin Coffee Map, and I'm really interested in this, the title of this one. Speaking of names, can you talk us through the name and the inspiration for that track?
Yeah, so... Well, as it suggests, it's about Berlin.
Yeah, great.
We went travelling as a family, so my mum and dad and my brother Theo, we were in Berlin, and we were there at the same time as a couple of friends of ours, so we would hang out together, and these friends, Eva, Sunny Rain and Ollie Rolf, so that's who the song's dedicated to. It was just an amazing time because they're amazing people, and it was really fun to hang out with them while we were there. They had this, like, coffee map, and so they were set on, like, well, not set on, but yeah, their challenge was to like find all the, you know, tick them off, basically. Go all the little coffee shops and tick them off.
It's a great way to explore a city, actually,
exactly.
If you do something like that, particularly a city like Berlin. I've been to Berlin a number of times, and in fact, I'll be there again in July this year. I should ask you what your favourite coffee place was.
Yeah, sure.
But, you know, if you've got to find your way in the public transport and get around to get to the places, it's a great way to explore.
Yeah, it was really, really fun, definitely.
That's
but
great.
But then aside from that, you also sort of realised that they're actually pretty much the same. Well, that's a realisation I came to anyway. Yeah. But
you had a lot of fun along the way.
And it was
people
definitely well-caffeinated fun, that's for sure.
I was going to say also, people of Melbourne are allowed to make comment on coffee.
Yes.
Yeah, we are.
It's quite okay.
We're very spoiled.
If you've made that that observation, that's absolutely fine.
Yes, yeah, for
coming
sure.
From a city like Melbourne. Where was your favourite place?
Well, I honestly can't remember because it all blurred into one by the end.
And you were on such a caffeinated high.
Exactly. Yeah. I can't remember a thing.
Yeah.
No, I think, well, I feel like you might have to ask Ollie Rolf.
Okay.
Does Berlin Coffee Shop actually sound like you've been caffeinated?
Yeah, I guess so.
I know how I get after 4 or 5 coffees in a day. I'm just wondering whether...
Yeah, actually it sort of starts kind of slow. So, like, you know, morning and then...
Yeah.
One coffee, two coffee. Yeah. Actually, that wasn't the original tension. It was named after the song was written, so it was more of like the song as, you know, as a dedication to the people. But yeah.
Flora, thanks so much for coming in and talking to us and for telling us about your album and about your trio and also about what's coming up at the Stonington Jazz Festival. Any favourite picks? Any other people who you'd recommend to go and see at the Stonington?
Oh, I know the Kathleen Halloran trio is playing, which would be very, very
yes,
good.
They are.
She's amazing. Not too sure. I need to double check my program.
Double check the program and have a look.
After all, you know. Lock them all in, yeah.
11th of May, Saturday the 11th of May, 7 p.m. At Chapel Off Chapel in the Loft. So I guess you can get tickets through the Chapel Off Chapel site or you can go to the Stonington Jazz site. And for our listeners, Stonington Jazz site is stoningtonjazz.com.au.
Great.
And you'll be able to grab your tickets there. Thanks so much, Flora, for coming in and talking to us.
If you're interested in any of the music, the album's available on Bandcamp. So.
Ah, there you go. Make sure you do listen to it. I got a copy of it today and it's fantastic. I really enjoyed listening to it.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Let's have a listen to the piece called Berlin Coffee Map and we'll catch you on the 11th of May.
Thank you so much for having me.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.